Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for being with us and joining with us today as we continue our series on There's More to Life and Anxiety. If you haven't watched previous message, then please go to our YouTube channel and you can pick up on those. We're going to pray and we're going to invite God, the Holy Spirit, just to come into our experience, come into our situation, wherever we are. If it's safe for you to do so, then why don't you just pause, close your eyes, and simply put your hands out towards God in an act of willingness, openness, submission, and surrender. So, Father, we pray today that wherever we are, that we might come and experience your peace and your presence and your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come into every area of our life to bring your cleansing, to bring your healing, to bring your hope. As much as we're able to, we open up our hearts to you. Come and fill us with your presence and your peace. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Someone once handed a guy a book called A Handbook, The Worst Case Scenario Handbook. And in it, there's a number of humorous looks at what to do in the worst case scenario. How to land the plane, how to perform a tracheotomy, how to deal with a charging bull, how to deliver a baby in the back of a car. And they take a humorous look, and the guy who was handed this book took one look at the title and thought, that's never going to amount to anything. It sold 10 million copies. If you ever wondered why that might be the case, I think it's because many people recognize that we live in maybe an unsafe, certainly an unpredictable world, certainly a world in which in the last year we've seen during this pandemic that decisions are made and changed and things are uncertain for lots of people. And in this series on anxiety, we've looked at the idea of anxiety being this barrage of what ifs, or what will I do when, or what will happen. A significant proportion of us may feel that, as one writer observed, if everything seems to be going well, you've obviously overlooked something. And some of you may smile at that or even chuckle at that because you know that's how you view the world. You know that's how it's true for you. And the series we're in and almost coming to a conclusion is looking at this idea of anxiety, that there's more to life than anxiety, and how we can help you have some tools and give you some strategies for dealing with this whole area of anxiety for us. That's why the video just before the message spoke about the need to value every encounter we have with God, recognizing each moment as an opportunity to experience his peace and his kingdom working in us and working through us. I want to play the 1 minute reading from the Bible that David Suchet is reading that we've been listening to most weeks. So here it is for you.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
I want to focus today on just one of those verses, in fact, just even one element of one of those verses, because there's so much truth, and that's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, one of the things about our thoughts is, though we can't see them, though we maybe can't always articulate them, they can't be measured or weighed, Paul, in this single sentence in the original language, is unpacking for us some great truths about the importance and the weight of our thought life. He's listing a number of virtues that would have been relevant and contemporary in the early church. And he's wanting to say that we need to direct our thoughts and our thinking on the right things if we're going to deal with an anxiety in our life. Someone has said this: sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, we reap a habit. Sow a habit, we reap a character. Sow a character, we reap a destiny. The Bible says that as a man thinks, so he is. Our thoughts are powerful. And we see in our own experience where wrong thinking can lead to wrong feelings in our life and wrong behaviors. And before long, our hearts and our minds are pulled apart and we're choked by anxiety. And so I want to look at just one word. And during the week, we're going to send out some devotions that you can look at and follow through some of the other keywords. But the first word we want to look at is this word, true. It literally means something that's upright and dependable and real. A psychiatrist in Glasgow once observed that 90% of his patients were receiving care and they were anxious over things that never happened. You know, we live in a world where many things, particularly with advertising, are deceptive, they're illusory, they promise us things that they can never actually deliver. And one of the things I want you to think about today is how we need to challenge even our own thinking to see if our own thinking is in line with God's word, if it's in line with true things that are upright, dependable, and real. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that we must bring every thought into captivity and make it obedient to Christ. And that's particularly true in this area of anxiety, because sometimes the things we worry about may never happen. They're not true and they're certainly not dependable. Have you ever thought about what drives your own motivations and attitudes and even behavior at times? I know we'd all like to think that all of our behavior and our actions are thought through and intentional, but the truth is sometimes it's a subconscious decision that we make. There are many factors going on. Maybe it's circumstances that trigger us. Maybe it's people that trigger us. Maybe it's a word or a music that evokes a memory and can trigger us. The thing that drives our attitudes and our actions at its most core is our beliefs. And our beliefs come about through a number of areas. They come about through things that we hold as true, regardless of whether we have any objective proof of their reality. You know, people can believe things that clearly aren't true, that clearly aren't real. But we hold on to those beliefs despite the evidence because we regard them as true. Sometimes our beliefs come through things that we have inherited. As we grow up, we learn and we take on the views of those around us, especially our family and our parents, maybe even teachers or those in authority over us, maybe even colleagues and friends. They all pass their beliefs onto us and they affect us subconsciously, sometimes more than we even realize. Beliefs are also developed from our personal experience and sometimes the feelings that we associate with them. Sometimes through our personal experience where we've been betrayed or people have broken our trust or hurt our feelings, and maybe we come and we say, I'm never going to let that happen again. I'm never going to trust again. And we develop a whole belief system in our life or around individuals that actually drive our action with people. Beliefs are also developed through our habits and our actions. Maybe you're someone who's consistently late and you begin to think, oh, that's just who I am. I'm terrible at time management, when actually, with a better alarm clock, and maybe even better sleeping habits, then you wouldn't always be late. But these beliefs can be so ingrained. In fact, our beliefs begin to shape our identity, and we become them to some extent. They become our self-image. They are the stories we tell ourselves. It's the self-talk, which is often negative when we think about ourselves. Things where we say that we're stupid, that we're ugly, that we're never going to make it, that we're always going to be second class, that we're going to fail. Whatever the things that we believe about ourselves, over time they become our stories, and so much so that they become ingrained in our character and we believe them to be true. And they can affect how we live. They can affect our language, our body language, how we talk about ourselves, the showing of emotion. All can come from what we believe and what we believe about ourselves. And in time, these beliefs become the labels we put on ourselves. Sometimes they can be used to justify our actions or our inactions at times. Oh, that's just me. I'm always going to be like that. The good news is that the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, is good news of transformation. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to stay in stuck. The gospel means that we can be new creatures, new creations in Christ, new to live a different way. And Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are free to live a different way. We don't have to stay stuck. They are not inscribed in our DNA. Whatever we've learned and developed and grown in since birth, because of our environment, because of our experience, because of the events or the decisions of our life, they may seem glued to our character, but the good news is we can change. We can change our beliefs and change our behaviors. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is dependable, whatever is real. And Jesus comes and says that we have to build our lives on that. Otherwise, we will become anxious. The word anxiety that Jesus used in Matthew 6 literally means double-minded, and we become unstable in our ways. And in the gospel, Jesus revealed in John chapter 8, verse 44, that our spiritual enemy, Satan, or the devil, he's a liar. He's the father of lies, and sometimes he plants thoughts in our minds about ourselves, about others, about God, that are deceptive, because he wants to control our minds. He wants to put doubt in there. It's what he did from the beginning, way back in the garden. He challenged them, and he said, did God really say this? And sometimes he'll drop those thoughts into your mind. But the good news is, we can have the Holy Spirit living in us, pointing us towards the truth. In one of his prayers for us, the early disciples and us, Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, that he prayed that we would be sanctified by truth and that his word was truth. We can be made whole. We can be made holy. We can be made right. We can have truth that is dependable and right and true and real when we understand what God says about us through his word. The devil will try and control our lives and our behaviors through lies. But the person who depends on God's word, who puts his thoughts on what is true and what is right, will have an inbuilt radar for detecting wrong thoughts. Sometimes we just know, no, that's not true. That's not right. Maybe someone will say something and we think, that's not right. Because we've grounded ourselves in the truth of what God says and in his word. I love the International Children's Bible version of Psalm 119, verse 165. Those who love your teachings will find true peace. Nothing will defeat them. Those who love your teachings will find true peace. Nothing will defeat them. And that's the challenge. What are we basing our beliefs on? Is it simply the events and circumstances of our life? Is it the decisions or the environment? Is it what we hold to be true, no matter what anyone else says? But the Bible says we have to come, and if we want to live in peace, we're going to have to hold to what God says in His Word. That's why Paul is urging the early church to fill their minds and focus their minds and plan to act in accordance with what is true. It could be translated, let your mind continually dwell on these things. In effect, Paul is saying to his readers, let your mind continually dwell on these things, on these positive qualities, on these wholesome qualities, so that your conduct and your life will be shaped by them. Do you want your life to be shaped by something different? Then you need to change what you're thinking. You need to change your beliefs. One version of that verse says this. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. You see, we all have choices. We all have the opportunity to make different choices, to make the right choices, and we can do that when we direct our thinking on the right thing, caught in a spiral, a downward spiral of negative, anxious thoughts. I want you to do something very practical today. I want you to do this exercise at some point. I'm going to be putting some things up on screen in a minute, and I want you to take time to do this exercise and to examine your own thinking. You may want to go back to it. You may want to pause the video at some point. You may want to bookmark it so you can come back and think. You may want to take a screenshot. But maybe you can ask yourself a few of questions like this. What am I believing right now? There's so much negative self-talk in our mind and in our life. We know that's the work of an enemy sowing those seeds. What am I believing right now? What am I believing about myself, about the future, about God? What am I believing? Is it true? We need to critically examine our thinking. Is it true? Is it accurate? Is it real? And then maybe a further question along that. Am I being honest with myself? Not only what am I believing right now, but is it true? Is what I'm saying to myself allowing me to be honest with myself? We have this amazing capacity to deceive ourselves. How would I be healthier if I stopped believing that thought? When you challenge some of your thinking about yourself that's negative, that's just wrong from what the Bible says, how would you be healthier? Who would I be if I let go of that belief? One of the challenges for many of us is we get comfortable with our negativity. We get comfortable with even the things that are wrong, even the things that we know are wrong, but it feels so much part of us that we feel that in letting go of that negative belief, of that wrong thinking, that we're letting go of part of ourselves. But we were created in the image of God. We were created to have that relationship with God. So anything that's negative, that's condemnatory, that stops us living to the full potential of who we are in God, we need to let go of it in order to be the person God wants us to be. What steps will I take to committing to changing my thinking? It's going to take action on your part. It's going to take challenging your thinking, examining your thinking, and replacing the faulty thinking with thoughts that are in line with what is true from God's word. That's why we have to take every thought captive. With my new mindset, how will I take action? I can guarantee you with a new mindset that your action will be much more positive, it'll be much more productive, it'll be much more wholesome, it'll be much more engaging with God and with other people. How are you going to take action with your new mindset? I encourage you to think about these things, to think about these questions, to think about what it means for you in your life. Now I know that we've only scratched the surface of what Paul's saying. That's only one of six key words or six virtues. And over the course of this week, I'm going to record just a couple of simple thoughts every day, 2-3 minute devotion to help you, to encourage you, to think about these other words that will really help our thinking and develop our thinking and cause us to examine our thinking. If you're on the church email list, then that'll come to you by email. But if you're not and you would like to receive the short devotionals through the next several days, then all our contact details will come on screen. You can email us at social@newlifecrawley.church. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. Enjoy the rest of the stream as we continue to worship God together. God bless you.